Does a standing ovation count if you weren't sitting to start? I don't know about that, but I'm going to count it. I'm excited for today. It's awesome to be here on a Sunday morning with the Christmas decorations up. There's a potluck happening tonight, and I have to say this church is very good at potlucking. Good food gets brought. The only time it wasn't very great, and Laura mentioned it, is when we did a young adults potluck. It was fun, and I actually hope to do a youth potluck one day just because I think it would be hilarious, and I would make sure that parents don't help because I just want to see what happens. Last time we did a youth potluck, I was standing in the kitchen, and a young adult walked in with just a raw pack of bacon. And when I saw him with that raw pack of bacon, I got out a pan, and I said, here's a pan, and he said, thanks, and left, and the raw pack of bacon was on the counter. So I was cooking bacon for the potluck that morning. It's very exciting to be starting off our Christmas series today. We've spent the last several weeks in our Luke 15 series, as well as following along that series with pop-up groups every week, and it's been awesome and it's been helpful. And I'm very excited it's Christmas time. I've talked about it a lot here. I love Christmas. My wife loves Christmas. We get very excited about it. My wife is actually in Penticton this week, and she's gone for about a week. So by the time she gets back, we're like 8 days away from Christmas, which sounds crazy, but it's coming very fast this year. And we're going to be in this Christmas series, The Gift We Need, for the next couple weeks, building up to Christmas Eve, where we'll be talking about this as well. And I don't know how many times we've mentioned it already, but I really encourage you to start letting the Spirit stir in your heart, start letting the Spirit try to put some names in your mind of people that you think should be here on Christmas Eve at one of our services this year, because there are people who need this gift. This gift that we need is for us, but it's also for everyone in our community. And there are so many people who may have not gotten a chance to receive a beautiful gift of Jesus before, and we want them to have a chance this Christmas. Now, it's Christmas time, and it's this season where all the lights go up and everything gets cheerful for a little bit, where people start to get very generous. And a lot of times, we focus on generosity and giving and blessing people at Christmas time, which is an amazing thing. And we should be focusing on that, and we should be doing that. And I actually think that us as a church and us as a community as a whole are very good at being generous. I actually think we're good at giving. I think we're good at doing that, especially at the holiday time. But I am here today to propose the idea that the heart of Christmas is not actually about giving, it's about receiving. And it's about receiving the gift that we need that we are going to dive into today. Now, giving can be a little bit easier for a lot of us because giving makes us feel good. When we're generous, it makes us feel good. When we give, it makes us feel good. Receiving can sometimes have the opposite effect. Sometimes receiving can be hard to enjoy, and we immediately start feeling these pressures on our minds and our hearts to do something about it, or we don't deserve it, and we can't accept it, and it becomes hard. A silly way to think about this is if you've ever been a drive-thru before and the person in front of you pays for your order. You typically enjoy it for about 2 seconds, and then you're like, do I have to pay for the person behind me? And you start thinking about how big their order is because you just had a medium coffee, and the pressures start to come onto your mind, and that's a real thing. It's hard to enjoy something nice sometimes because of the pressures that put on ourselves from us or from others. It's actually very important to be good at receiving gifts. And I'm sure some of us in the room today are like, I'm good at receiving gifts. I love receiving gifts. And some of us might be too good at receiving. But we're going to be focusing today on this specific gift. And I think the more time we spend with this gift, the harder it can be to accept and receive. It's important to be good at receiving, whether that's receiving help in a time of need, whether that's receiving love from the people who know us best, whether that's receiving the gift we need, Jesus Christ, and all of the gifts that come with that. It's important to be good at it. Now, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. So if you have a Bible with me today, or if you have a phone, turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read these first two verses for us, then I'm going to pray to open up this message. It says this, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. The Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance to gather here at church and worship you and spend time with you, Jesus. We know that you're with us throughout the week and we can be with you always, Jesus, but it is so beautiful to be here gathered together, Jesus. And today, as we dive into this gift that was given to us at Christmas time, Jesus, the gift of you being born, Jesus, may our hearts get softened today, Jesus. May we become better at receiving gifts. May we become better at understanding what this gift is and how to use it, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. Amen. The Christmas festivities have started. As you can see, we have decorations all over the place. I'm sure some of you have already started diving into Christmas parties for whatever reason. Chantel and I kicked off our Christmas festivities with our church staff and council Christmas party. And it was very fun. There was good food. Anytime we have hunters and fishers gather around, good food comes out. So it was a lot of fun. And every year, it's kind of become a tradition now that we do a bit of a local white elephant gift exchange. And it's awesome because who doesn't love a local gift? And with that specific group of people, it is funny to see what gets opened from these gifts. Because growing up in Manitoba, it's not common for me to see someone pull open some wrapper and pull out some massive salmon fillets. But when you live in a beautiful place like this, we get to experience that and call it a local gift. But it's during this white elephant gift exchange where I have to go up in front of not many people, maybe 15 to 20 people, and open a gift in front of them. And I'm sure a lot of you, like me, don't find that the funnest. It's fun to get a gift, and it's fun to watch everyone else open up a gift. But having to open something in front of that many people, it becomes awkward, and it kind of stirs something up in your heart where it's like, why is that hard for me? Why is it hard to receive a gift? And in this game, people can steal gifts from you. And if your gift gets stolen, you got to go open up another gift. And I was just hoping that my gift didn't get stolen because I didn't want to go open up another gift in front of everybody. And that's kind of always been something in my life. I have a hard time receiving. I have a hard time taking nice things. Part of it is because I'm not very good at reacting. It's not fun to give me a gift, I think. I'm going to keep working on that. But I think a lot of you can relate to this idea of finding it awkward to receive something, even though it should be an awesome thing. It should be awesome. Someone's giving you a gift. God is blessing you with a gift. We should be able to just receive that and enjoy it. But for some reason, we can't sometimes. And the truth is, a big, big part of following Jesus revolves around this idea of accepting and receiving gifts. We're going to have to keep doing it. You don't just accept the gift one time, but these gifts keep coming and coming. God is generous. So it's important to be good at receiving and using these gifts if we're going to be following Jesus. Why is it so hard for us to accept gifts? I think it can be for many reasons. For some of us, it's been so built into us that we have to earn everything. We don't just get stuff to get stuff. We have to earn everything. And whether that's love or approval or success or whatever it is in our minds, we have this idea that we have to earn it. And unfortunately, we've let this cultural mindset affect our relationship with God as well. We feel like we have to earn it. And the truth is, when we feel like we have to earn the gift of God, it brings us to this harsh reality because we know that we have not earned it. We know that we have not earned his gifts because we fall short and miss the mark over and over again. But it's this Christmas season that we actually want to help you and help us be able to receive his gifts by understanding something that is really important for us this Christmas season. The good news, the gospel, is not about what we do for God, but it's about what God has done for us. It's about us receiving the gifts that he gives. Today we're going to spend time unpacking two passages. And when these two passages are paired together, it's going to help us see two things. One, it's going to help us see that God loves to give. He loves to give. And secondly, it's going to help us see that he is inviting us to receive even though we don't deserve it. So the first passage that we're going to jump into is back in Luke chapter 2, but we're going to look at a little bit of a bigger chunk this time, verses 8 to 13. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 13, it says this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." This is a pretty awesome passage from the Christmas story. And one of the first things we notice here is the angels bringing the good news, so giving the gift of Jesus. But who are they giving this gift to? I think if we were all to come up with an idea like, hey, the angel has to go give this news to someone, who are we going to pick? I think a lot of us probably would have picked the kings or the religious leaders of the day, but that's not what happens. That's not who God picks. He picks these shepherds out in a field. And in their culture, in their time, these shepherds would have been considered outcasts. They would have been considered kind of the nobodies of society. But this is who God chooses to bring the good news, the gift of Jesus, the gift of joy for all people, which is a very important couple words in that passage. The message is clear. This is a gift for everyone, but especially for those who feel unworthy of it. For those who think they've done too much wrong, for those who think there's not enough grace for them, this gift is for them. Now, this idea of feeling unworthy is a real thing that we struggle with. We've had the honor of baptizing a lot of youth students over the last couple years, and it's kind of been a reoccurring theme where a youth student doesn't feel ready to get baptized because they're still making mistakes, because they're still falling short or missing the mark. And that's a sad idea that we put in our heads. And the truth is, as a youth student once shared with me, that he had made a mistake right before his baptism. And he came to me honestly and started asking me if he can still get baptized or if he had made a mistake and we have to cancel it now and we have to postpone it until he's been good enough for a certain amount of time. But the truth is, if we had to get clean and get perfect before we got baptized, how many of us in this room would ever get baptized? Probably not many of us, right? But that's the beautiful gift that we get. Grace is a gift from Jesus. We don't have to get perfect first. It's not about what we have earned or what we deserve. It's about what God has chosen to give. It's not based on your performance. It's based on his grace. And truthfully, if it was based on my performance, I'd be pretty scared, I'm not going to lie. And I think a lot of us in this room would feel that too. Now, if you or I were the shepherds in that field in that time when the angel came down to speak to us, we probably would have felt fear like the shepherds did. It said they were afraid. And we probably would have felt fear because when you see an angel come down to you, the first idea in your mind probably would have been, harsh judgment is coming my way. The angel is here to bring harsh judgment. Now, the shepherds were definitely not religious role models by any means, so it would have made sense for them to think something like that. In their society, they were the outcasts. The people would have kept them at an arm's distance. They would have thought that it was condemnation and wrath coming their way. But the message delivered to the angels, the message that they got to share with all of us, was not a message of condemnation, but it was a message of joy, a message of hope, a message of Jesus, a Savior that was born. This is the gift that we need. When the shepherds expected judgment and wrath and what they deserved, what came? Probably in the most unexpected way ever, the greatest gift ever given was born as a baby in a manger. How vulnerable a little baby is. Now, this little baby is the greatest gift that was ever given. And it is the gift we need this Christmas season and forever. And it's important for us to look at how we receive it and how we use that gift well. Now, at this point, it's going pretty good. We've got this beautiful gift of Jesus being born. We get hope. We get joy. We get an amazing gift that's sitting here for us. All we have to do is accept it. And I wish it was that easy, but we are complex. And it's not always as easy as it sounds to accept such a gift as that. Receiving Jesus and the gifts that come with him can be very hard. And the more time you spend in your relationship with Jesus, and the more time you go on your spiritual journey, that theme is going to keep popping back up because we're going to keep missing the mark. And it's going to feel hard sometimes to accept his forgiveness and his love and his grace and the gift of Jesus. I think there's something inside of us that resists gifts that we know we do not deserve. Now, whether this comes from cultural ideas or pressures, think about your jobs. If you were given a certain amount of pay and a job description, and you constantly did not meet that job description, and you were skipping work, and you were showing up late, and you weren't a very good employee, yet your boss called you into the office to give you a raise, you'd be confused. And you'd probably think it was some sort of sick trick, like they're gonna fire me on Christmas Eve, I know it. But of course that's how we think, but our worldly ideas and our cultural ideas cannot get carried over into our relationship with God. And maybe it comes from how we view ourselves. There's some of us in this room who have a bad image of self and have struggled with that for a long time. And if we don't view ourselves as worthy as much, how are we going to be willing to accept a gift as great as Jesus? For some of us, it might come from how we've been spoken to. Some people have talked down on you and told you you're not worth anything and told you you're not enough, and that's leaked into your relationship with God, and all of a sudden, you can't accept the gift of Jesus. You can't accept the great gifts that comes with him because someone has told you you can't. Now, there's people in the Bible as well who've wrestled with these ideas, and we see Paul has wrestled with these thoughts a lot. And this is where we're going to jump to our second passage today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 25. It says this, "And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin." So in this passage in Romans 7, Paul is opening up in a very vulnerable way about his own struggle with sin and his own struggle with viewing himself. And he understands that he's kind of trapped in this spot. And he understands that there's a gift he needs. He says, "Who can save me? Jesus Christ, our Lord." The gift that we need. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to Paul in this moment as he's saying, "I want to do good things, but I can't. I don't want to do bad things, but I keep doing it. Why is this happening?" And it leaves us in a spot where we feel bad about ourselves and we feel unworthy, and it can become hard to accept and receive gifts. And the truth is, we feel like this often because we are broken. We do fall short over and over again. And that reality causes us to hesitate when such a beautiful gift is put in front of us. It becomes hard to receive and accept. But again, if we had to clean up and become perfect before accepting this gift, would anybody ever be allowed to accept it? We need to accept this gift, yet that is the hardest part. But the truth is, there is massive freedom in letting go of our pride and just telling Jesus that we trust him and we open our arms and accept his gift and let him do a work in our soul. But the tough thing about trying to earn something is that sometimes the more we try to earn it, the harder it can be to receive. The more we try and earn grace, the less we feel like we deserve it at times. And the more we try and prove ourselves worthy of Jesus' love, the farther we can get from experiencing it. Because if we truly want to experience the grace and love of Jesus, we have to stop trying to earn it. We have to understand that we can't earn it. We just have to accept it, enjoy it. And from that standpoint, we will then start to do the works that are honoring to God. Now let's imagine together how Paul would have viewed this idea of receiving this gift. He's talking about sin that he struggled with. He's talking about how he's messed up in the past. Who can save him? He needs a gift, the gift of Jesus. And we've already talked today that because we mess up sometimes and because we view ourselves in a certain way, it can be hard to receive a nice gift of Jesus and grace and forgiveness. And I think Paul probably would have had some struggles with that at first. We read in Acts 9, 1 to 2. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. So at this point, we see that Saul was living a life far from God. He was living a life doing horrible things. He was persecuting Christians. He assisted in the murder of a Christian. He was living this life, and he's on this walk to Damascus. And what happens? Jesus meets him on this walk and speaks to him, and a bright light shines, and Saul is blinded. And then there's a man named Ananias that God wants to use to help save Paul. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 to 14, we see this. Ananias says, "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." And I think something important for us to note in that passage there is Ananias is actually struggling to watch somebody else receive. And I think we have to be careful of our hearts as well. When we know the wrongs that other people have done, it can be easy and quick for us to judge them and find it hard to see them receive nice things and receive the gift of God. Now, Paul, someone who had done so much wrong, was able to accept and receive the gift of Jesus. His eyesight came back, he was restored, and we saw him use this gift so well throughout Scripture as he's a missionary teaching and planting churches and saving people. This is the Christmas story. God is not waiting for us to have it all together and figured out. He comes to us like he did Paul in our mess, in our failure, and in our unworthiness. And he says that this gift is for you. I love you. Please receive it. Receiving the gift of Jesus is amazing, and receiving the gifts that comes with him is amazing. I pray that everyone in this room has or will accept Jesus as their Savior. But the truth is, accepting Jesus as your Savior is not the only gift. This is not a one-time gift relationship. But there's people in our church who've been in a relationship with Jesus for 50-plus years who will tell you it's a life of receiving over and over and over again. Every time we mess up, the grace of God is there. Every time we need his love, it's there for us. His gifts keep coming. So we have to get good at receiving. Now, the best gifts that we've ever received get used and have a good purpose. We don't just let these good gifts sit in a box collecting dust, but when a gift is really good, we enjoy it. We use it and we share it with others. Now, there's a reoccurring thing that happens in my life where I'm given a nice gift. My in-laws do something called Food Fairy. I know I struggle with the name. But it's this ongoing pattern of my in-laws come to town, and when they're in town, they take us to the grocery store, and I'm sure lots of you would love this. They say, "Fill the cart. As long as it fits in the cart, we're buying it for you today." And they buy us groceries, which sounds like an amazing thing. And it's a way for them to bless us. They don't live close to us. They don't see us often. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of ruin it for everybody. Because they're trying to bless us. They're trying to give us something nice. And I kind of turn into a grump. And I just walk around. And every time they ask me if I want something, I'm like, "No, I don't want it." Because I have a hard time receiving it for some reason. It was really hard for me to just start putting things in my cart knowing someone else was going to pay for it. Now, there were moments where I'd whisper to Chantel and get her to put something in for me. But again, it stirs up this idea in my heart, where I'm like, why is this so hard for me? Why is it hard to receive something so nice? And the truth is, it's important for us to be good at receiving, one, because a relationship with Jesus is about God giving us things over and over again. But also, we love being generous and we love giving. And if we're going to be poor receivers of gifts, we're actually taking away the opportunity for others to be a blessing. We get in the way of other people being obedient to God and blessing us when we have a hard time accepting it, and we make it not fun for people at times. But we always want to walk that balancing line of, I accept this gift, and also, I can't believe I got this gift, and I'm so thankful, and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to use it well. Because when we get home and our kitchen is full of groceries, you better believe I eat those groceries and I enjoy those groceries. That's what makes it a good gift. If they bought us all these groceries and I just let them rot away in my kitchen, it wouldn't be a good gift. It would be a waste. And the truth is, the gift of Jesus is no different. We got to use it well. We have to share it with others. In Luke chapter 2, a little bit later, in verses 17 to 18, says this, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So these shepherds had received the gift, and they didn't just sit there with it. They didn't say, that's good news, and then just go back to work. No, they received this amazing news, and they had to share it. It was so exciting in their heart that it was an outpour onto other people. They were going around telling everybody this good news. And this is what happens when we receive the gift of Jesus. We have to not just hold on to it and say, good gift. No, we have to share it with other people. We have to use it. So how do we receive this gift well? I'm going to propose to us three things today that help us receive the gift of Jesus and use it well. First off, we have to live with joy. I find it very easy to be joyful at Christmas time when the lights are on and we're all talking about the birth of Jesus and it's amazing and the trees are decorating your house. It's easy to live with joy. But February, not as easy to live with joy. I grew up in Winnipeg. February, it's not easy to live with joy in February, but we have to be people who live with joy. The angel said to the shepherds that he was bringing news that will bring great joy to all people. And there's so much that comes with Jesus. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, love, a savior. We should live with joy like no other if we know that truth. When we receive the gift of Jesus, it should transform our heart, it should transform our soul. We should be able to be like a glowing light in the community full of joy that people can't help but talk to us and look at us and wonder, what is different about this person? Why are they so happy all the time? What is this joy that they have in their lives? And they'll ask, and we're going to get to share the good news of Jesus being born in a manger, the gift that we need and they need. So number one, we have to live with joy. Number two, we have to live with purpose. Just as the shepherds received the gifts and had no other choice but to share it, that's a purposeful life. We need to accept the gift of Jesus. We need to accept that the Son of God came down and gave his life for us. And there should be no other response than for us to live with purpose. And the best way to live with purpose is not by holding on to our life, but giving our life back to Jesus. And saying, Jesus, my life is yours. Jesus, I am your servant. Jesus, use me in whatever way you want to, and I will be obedient to you, Jesus. If we've received that beautiful gift, it should change everything about our lives. We should be living with joy. We should be living with purpose. Number three, we should be living with hope. There's a lack of hope in this world. I don't like watching the news. It's not very hopeful. But when we get to spend time in the Word of God, when we get to spend time receiving the gift of Jesus, there's no greater hope than that. This world is broken. And as we receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas season, it's important to remember we will receive the gift of Jesus again one day. One day when he returns. Often here at our church, we refer to the five trees. A lot of you have seen them. I actually think if you look 10 feet above me, you can see them. And the last tree looks exactly like the first tree, because the tree of life that is found in the Garden of Eden is found again in the book of Revelations. And here at CPC, I'm looking in my five tree booklet right now, and we see this tree, the tree of renewal. This idea that everything is going to be made new again. If that's a real truth in our hearts, how do we not live with hope? Knowing that everything is going to be made new again. Jesus is going to return one day. Because we were given the gift of a little baby in a manger, we get hope. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he will return again. We live with a special hope. So if we want to use the gift of Jesus well, receive it and make use of it, these are three important things for us to start doing. Live with joy, live with purpose, live with hope. And these three things, if we're living like this, people are going to notice something is up. And that's going to give us a chance to share this gift. And then we get to be a blessing to other people by bringing them and helping them receive the gift of Jesus. Christmas time is the best reminder of this gift. We often feel so undeserving, but our response to such an amazing gift should not be one of guilt and shame, but it should be one of awe, joy, and a desire to know it better. So this Christmas season, let us receive the gift of Jesus. Let Jesus soften our hearts and our pride. Allow us to be better at receiving gifts, receiving help, receiving love from the people around us. It's a real skill to have. It's important to remember that we do not have to be perfect and ready to receive. We can be messy and broken because the truth is we all are. This gift of Jesus and all that comes with him is not something we earn. It's a gift. You don't earn this gift. It actually takes trust for us to trust that his grace and his mercy and his love is enough for us. That's what we need to remember this Christmas season. I am excited for the next couple weeks as we continue to look at this idea of receiving and as we continue to unpack all of the gifts that we are given through Jesus. And it's no better time than now at the Christmas season to remember what Jesus has given us.